Scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Word of God reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, our text this morning is a familiar one, no doubt. I'd say that it contains what has got to be the most popular verse in all of the Bible, John 3:16. Most people, Christian or not, can probably recite that verse from memory. If it is not the most popular verse, it is certainly the most recognizable. And we probably have the signs on street corners and at football games to thank for that fact. And while we see it on street corners and we see it posted on signs and people holding up it on signs at football games, we typically don't see it quoted at Christmas time. Well, I want to suggest to you this morning that John 3:16 at its heart is a Christmas verse. Now, I know when we think about verses related to Christmas, John 3:16 is not what first comes to mind. We think about the accounts of the birth of Jesus and about the shepherds and the magi and how the angel came to Mary. We want the birth, we want to look at the birth accounts of Jesus. But you do understand that if John 3:16 is not true, then we wouldn't have those verses to read or the birth account of Jesus to read about. In fact, if John 3:16 did not take place, then you and I do not have reason to celebrate Christmas, at least in the eyes of Christians. John 3:16 is at the heart of Christmas. It is a simple verse, but it says so much about our great God and why Christmas is such a wonderful holiday. Have you ever thought about that? Thought about why Christmas is such a beloved holiday? You know, most people think it's because of the gifts that are exchanged at Christmas. I bet if you were to ask some children amongst us what their favorite holiday is, most of them would probably say it's Christmas, and the reason is because of all the gifts that they potentially get at Christmas. But others, around the Christmas holiday, they enjoy the snow, but only if you're up north. We don't enjoy the snow down south, right? They enjoy the snow and the food and the singing that's involved around Christmas and the sights and the smells. I mean, I must admit, those things indeed make the Christmas holiday special and unique. I mean, I've had the privilege of experiencing Christmas in New York City, and there is no better place on earth to celebrate Christmas in than New York City. Rockefeller Center, the smells, the singing, the decorations, the snow. It's a great time of year. And while all those things are wonderful and all those things are great, they are not what make Christmas great. Brothers and sisters, love makes Christmas great. But it's not the superficial love we see depicted in Lifetime Christmas movies. What makes Christmas great is the love of God. The love of God. We get that from John 3:16. Is this verse that tells us about the love of a father and how that love was revealed to the world. Christmas is about the love of God. You know, love, as you all know, love is an action word. It is a verb. This idea is expressed in the phrase, and perhaps you've heard it said of you or you've said it to somebody, don't just tell me you love me, show me. When you love someone, you demonstrate that love in a variety of ways. You may shower them with affection. You may perform acts of service. You may give them gifts. All of these actions are expressions. They are the expressions of love. However, every attempt, every expression of love that we seek to show to someone else or to one another is but a fraction of the love that God shows. And the greatest demonstration of that love is the reason why you and I celebrate Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. There is no greater love story told. There is no greater love than this love. I think it was Whitney Houston who sang, "Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all." Well, sorry, Whitney. The greatest love of all is not learning to love yourself. The greatest love of all is the love of God revealed to us in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. That's the greatest love of all. And if you do not know that, if you don't believe that, and if you are not overwhelmed by the fact of God's love, then you have not spent time reflecting and thinking upon the most popular verse in all of the scriptures, John 3:16. But don't worry. We're going to spend some time this morning reflecting on God's love from John 3:16. And may God give you, I pray that he would give us all fresh eyes, that we would leave here just overwhelmed with this love, overwhelmed that we at Christmas get to celebrate and to reflect on this love. The first aspect to reflect on about God's love from John 3:16 is that God's love is wide. It is vast. There was a song we used to sing in church growing up called Deep and Wide. Deep and wide, right? Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing. Deep and wide. Or we used to sing, God's love is so high you can't get over it, and so low you can't get under it. Oh, in these expressions, in these songs, we were singing about the vastness of God's love and how amazing and how wonderful and how wide it is. Brothers and sisters, often when we talk about the mercy of God being vast and wide, but have you stopped to contemplate the love of God? John says, God so loved the world. This is the indiscriminate love of God for the world. When he created the world, he created something that was good and it was beautiful. It was a creation that he declared as good, and it was ordered and lovable and lovely. In this creation, he created a people. A people made in his own image that were themselves lovely and lovable. People that he loved. We know what happened. Sin of Adam and Eve marred this creation. So now that which was created that was good is now flawed. And it's broken, and the people who were created in his image have been tainted and corrupted by evil and are no longer lovable but unlovable. But While this world is marred and broken by sin, and it grieves our Heavenly Father, you do realize that it still does not negate His love. God's love is vast, for God loves the world. For He, we see this when He says He makes the sun rise on the evil and the good. This is God's mercy and His grace and His love to mankind. Listen to me. Every person walking on the face of the earth, in fact, every person who has ever lived has experienced the love of God. Every person. They may not know it or acknowledge it, but every person has experienced the love of God. If you here this morning are breathing, you can't claim that God hasn't shown you love. God so loved the world. God's love is wide. There is an indiscriminate nature to His love. While that is an amazing thought, while that is something to dwell upon and reflect upon and to thank God over, that is not simply the only reason why we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas because that vast love of God was expressed itself in God giving to the world an extraordinary gift. That's why. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Brothers and sisters, what God did in sending Jesus turned love from some abstract idea to a tangible reality. When God sent Jesus, He wasn't just saying He loved the world. He was showing He loved the world. 1 John 4 and 9 tells us this. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. It was shown to us, it was demonstrated among us that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Christmas is an expression of God's love. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, God's tangible expression of love was born. He gave in love His only Son. God's gift of His Son was an extraordinary gift. And it is said that this is why you and I give gifts to one another at Christmas. It is in a sense, to imitate this giving nature of our Lord, of our God, to one another, to demonstrate this love. But God's expression of love far, far exceeds any expression of love that we seek to imitate. We see this in how God gave gifts and how different it is than how we give gifts. Some give gifts out of obligation. Perhaps maybe they're an employee of yours, and everybody gives, at least good employers give their employees, right, Christmas gifts at Christmas. So they feel obligated to give a gift to their employees at Christmas. Some feel obligated to give others a gift because they have given you a gift, right? Yeah, they gave you a gift and you're like, oh man, now I got to get you a gift, right? Brothers and sisters, God was not obligated to give His Son. He was not obligated to give His Son. The world wasn't owed a gift. He had already showed the world enough love by not destroying it when Adam and Eve sinned. When God loved the world and gave Jesus His only Son, it wasn't because of obligation. It was according to His good pleasure. Love was the motive, not obligation. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5 tells us, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus, according to the purpose of his will. God was not obligated to send Jesus. It flowed from a genuine desire to show goodness and to grant favor, to show kindness. Here is the mind-boggling part. God gave Jesus, his only son, to a world who had turned their back on him. That's the mind-boggling part. God was not obligated to give us anything because we didn't deserve anything. We were his enemies, full of pride, full of self-glory. And to cap it all off, we were ungrateful. John 3 and 19, if you continue to read past our text. And this is the judgment, that light came into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. God sent this gift, this gift of love, into the world. And the response of the people was that they loved the darkness rather than the light. Ungrateful for this gift. Undeserving and ungrateful people. I want to ask you something. Do you give gifts to people like that? Ungrateful? Undeserving? If we did, we certainly wouldn't do so willingly. It would be out of obligation. And we would not give them our very best. We'd spend as little as possible. John 3:16 tells us that God, not out of obligation, gave his only son, but lovingly gave his only son, his very best. Oh, that's extraordinary, brothers and sisters. It's an extraordinary gift because God was not obligated to give it. But it's also extraordinary because God didn't give Jesus out of an inherent need that he had. He didn't need this. He gave his son, his only son, out of the overflow of his loving character. Some say, well, God needed to send Jesus in order to satisfy a desire to love. So in order for his character of love to be on display, he had to send Jesus. In other words, so that he could be complete and feel good about himself. No, 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 brothers and sisters. No, no, no. That's bad theology. We worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you do realize in this union, prior to God creating the world, the Godhead existed in perfect union and in perfect loving relationship. There was no need for love there. It was already there. God was completely satisfied and content in himself. Did not express his love in this manner in order to be fulfilled, because he was lacking something. No, no. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were full of love. And the sending of Jesus into the world is the overflow of that love that already existed. And here's the deal. You and I get caught up in that loving relationship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We get wrapped up in that love. His love overflows to us. Once again, this is a reminder of how different God is than us. He's different than us. Some give gifts because they want to satisfy an inherent need to feel good about themselves. They like giving gifts at Christmas because they like how other people respond to them when they give them a gift. To meet some need, they feel incomplete. Some give gifts because they recognize that there is greed or this lack of compassion that is in their hearts, and they want to get rid of that. And so they give out of that those motives. The intentions behind why we give are often not pure. But when God gave his only begotten Son, He gave out of an overflow of love with no ill motives in mind. In fact, that's what verse 17 tells us. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Oh, his intentions, his motives. God sent his only Son into the world with good intentions to save a people, not to fulfill a need that he had, but to fulfill a need that we had. This is why he sent his Son. Not to fulfill a need that he had, but to fulfill a need that we had. And aren't those the best gifts? Aren't those the best gifts? The ones that meet a need rather than a want? You know, the gifts that we want are often the gifts that you find at the bottom of the closet 2 years later, right? The ones that you want, the fancy electronic, whatever it is, it's usually at the bottom. But it's those things that we get that we need that are most useful. The things that we appreciate the most. When God sent his Son, the gift of his Son, it was to meet a need. The world needed saving from the bondage of sin. Brokenness, the enmity that existed between God and man, it needed to be fixed. God was sending his Son into the world to fix it, to fix the need, to restore a relationship that had been severed, all out of love and compassion. Now, what makes this gift of love all the more extraordinary is that God sent Jesus into the world not simply to be born, but to die. To die. This is the love God demonstrated in the gift of his Son. His love is not simply the giving of his Son. It is the sacrifice of his Son. And this is love, 1 John 4:10 tells us. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh, Jesus was coming into the world to pay the penalty for the sins of his people. This is why he was sent. He by laying down his life on the cross, this is why Jesus came. And I must remind you, this is why it's so important that we look at the scriptures. I must remind you that this was all for an undeserving and an ungrateful people. And again, this is not how we show love. We don't show love like that. We love the people that we think we can love. Listen to how Paul puts it in Romans 5, 7, and 8. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person one would dare die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The sinners, the ungrateful, the undeserving, those are the ones whom Christ died for. That's how he showed us his love. God doesn't love like we love. He doesn't give gifts like we give. Listen to me. There is no love comparable to this love. I don't care how good the Lifetime movie is. It doesn't compare to the love of God. Brothers and sisters, there has been no greater gift than Jesus. None. No greater gift than him. And if you are holding out or you think there is a better gift coming, then you are wrong. He has come in the person and work of Jesus Christ. There is no greater gift. You ever, I was thinking about this, you ever have one of those Christmas mornings where you've unwrapped all the presents that had your name on them underneath the Christmas tree and you get to the final one and you didn't get what you had asked for? And you start looking around like, are they going to bring it down from upstairs? I mean, this is what I asked for. Wondering, is there something more coming? Not with Jesus. He's come. The greatest gift has come. If you're looking for something better, he's come already. There is no greater love. There is no greater love than the love of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is the gift of love. So, you must receive him. You must receive him. That is the response to receiving a gift you don't deserve but desperately need. Question is, have you received him? Have you received his gift this morning? This loving gift of Jesus, only Son of God. Have you received him this morning? You know, someone can give you a gift, but if you don't receive it, it's not yours. God sent Jesus for you. Receive him. Trust in him. Place your faith in him. See that he is the only hope in this world. Pray that you would know salvation this morning. Receive the gift of Jesus. When you receive him, and those of us who have received him in faith and thanksgiving, you know what you find out? Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. That's what you find out. John 3:16 ends with that whoever believes, receives, trusts, places their faith in him will not perish but have eternal life. The indiscriminate, wide, vast love of God moves to the particular. To those who place their faith and their trust in him, look, that love that you experience through Jesus Christ is an everlasting love. Love. The love that grants to you eternal life. Those who receive his gift have no fear of him taking that love back. He won't take that gift back. It's yours. If you have placed your faith and your trust in Jesus, he is not taking it back. It's a love that doesn't let go. It's a love that is full of blessing and assurance and grace. It's the love that we confess about each week, isn't it? We get to the end of Romans 8, 38 and 39. Paul is well into his preaching by now. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to do what? Separates you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's the gift. He's the gift that keeps on giving. His love. His love is overwhelming. those who place their faith in him have everlasting love. Brothers and sisters, when we celebrate Christmas, each year, around December, it should be something that we think about every day, because we experience his love every single day in tangible and real ways. When we come to Christmas, we have an opportunity to reflect upon this great love of God, the overwhelming love of God expressed to us, the person and work of Jesus, and that baby who was born in Bethlehem. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you, that he gave his only son. There is no greater love. There is no greater gift. Christmas is about the love of God. May you know, I pray, may you know this love this Christmas.